From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a local and statewide news update. University of Alaska's Southeast will offer a free option for Alaska Native language classes starting in the fall semester. Hune Lance Twitchell is a professor of Alaska Native languages at UAS. He says this is part of bringing the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian languages to a safer place by having more speakers.
And we didn't put ourselves in this situation. Our language was banished, it was prohibited, it was made illegal. We were tortured and abused and all kinds of things to get us to stop speaking. So why should we have to pay to learn our own language?
There has been a decline in Alaska Native languages over the last 100 years due to genocide and assimilation. Many elders who were birth speakers died during the COVID-19 pandemic. But Twitchell says there's also been a shift in the last decade towards language revitalization. For example, UAS offered a year of free Tlingit courses during the pandemic. Twitchell says 600 people signed up.
I think it's going to be medicinal. It's going to alter the course of the way things are going, and it's really exciting.
Arts and Sciences Dean Corinne Siltikaitis says one of their main jobs is to support faculty and find ways to say yes.
You have to open doors. You have to bring seats to tables. And I think the way to do that is to create more access. And I think creating free curriculum is a way to create more access for people.
Dean Silkatis says the free classes are made possible with help from Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation and a Language Pathways grant. Students who select the free option won't earn credits or receive a grade. Southeast Alaska's ferry link to northern British Columbia resumed on Monday after nearly 3 years out of service. KRBD's Eric Stone spoke with some passengers waiting to board the first state ferry to Prince Rupert since 2019.
For Lindsay Swaim, the return of the Prince Rupert ferry route means she can see family again.
It means everything to me. I can go down and visit my grandma, who I haven't seen in over 2 years.
Her parents are in Prince Rupert taking care of her grandmother, who's in her 90s. Swaim says without the ferry, travel was impractical.
In order to see her, I'd have to fly to Seattle, Seattle to Vancouver, Vancouver all the way to Prince Rupert on a prop plane. And that's just pretty ridiculous when a ferry can go there in 6 hours.
Swaim was one of the 83 passengers who rode the ferry Matanuska to Prince Rupert. It's the first run since ferry officials put the route on hold in September 2019 over a dispute over whether U.S. Customs officials could carry firearms. But now, after some security upgrades at the terminal, the route is back on. Scott Milner is another passenger waiting to board outside Ketchikan's ferry terminal. He says the return of the shortest ferry route connecting Ketchikan with the North American road system means he can take his 8 dogs to agility competitions down south again.
Probably the most famous is Bolt, who won the United States Dog Agility Pairs competition at their World Games in Phoenix, Arizona in 2016. Angus is a AKC Masters Agility Champion. And then we have 2 new puppies that we're just training up, and that's kind of what this trip's about.
He's planning a month-long road trip through Canada and several states with his 4 Chihuahuas and 4 Shetland Sheepdogs. Janita Odell is also planning a road trip. After driving down to Seattle for a doctor's appointment, she says she's planning to drop off a vehicle at a family member's house in Idaho in preparation for another trip next month. She says it's her 4-year-old daughter Merritt's first time on a state ferry.
These are the kinds of experiences it's pretty hard for us to be able to give her, because we definitely can't afford to put a trailer and the truck going down to Bellingham and then take 2 weeks for a family vacation and then come back up. It's totally undoable, so this makes things a lot more accessible for us.
State Representative Dan Ortez was also aboard the first run to BC. The Ketchikan Independent says the return of the Prince Rupert route is a big deal for Southeast Alaska.
For lots of reasons, history, culture, the whole thing. You know, Prince Rupert has been an important part of the total package that the Marine Highway System has offered over the years. And when it wasn't there, boy, did I hear about people missing it. So it's really important.
Ortez says it's also a way for him to visit constituents. He plans to visit the tiny hamlet of Hyder for the first time in 2 years. Everyone I spoke with was glad to see the Prince Rupert route back online, but there's one consistent complaint. Residents say they wish there were more runs. There are just 7 round-trip voyages scheduled through September, or about 2 a month. State transportation officials say they're hoping to schedule more frequent calls after some ships are overhauled and brought back online. The fall and winter schedule is due out in August. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Federal infrastructure money is starting to flow into Alaska following the historic $1.2 trillion bill Congress passed last November. One of the first grants is going to replace a 100-year-old railroad bridge on the route from Anchorage to Fairbanks. Brian Lindemood is the Alaska Railroad Corporation's vice president of engineering. He says the grant is part of an ongoing effort to rehabilitate a third of the state system's 180 bridges.
We normally replace, you know, one, two, three a year. But I think it's accurate to say the easy ones have all been done. And now we're starting to tackle the more difficult ones.
This particular bridge crosses Little Gold Stream Creek north of Nenana. Lindemood said its foundation is failing due to melting permafrost. The $3.1 million federal grant will cover half the replacement cost. The railroad line between Anchorage and Fairbanks doesn't just carry passengers. Lindemood says it's an essential artery for making sure Fairbanks' grocery stores are stocked and delivering industrial goods to the North Slope. Team Pure and Wild has won the 2022 Race to Alaska. The three-man crew from Seattle, aboard a 44-foot riptide monohull, sailed into Ketchikan's Thomas Basin Harbor Monday afternoon. Again, KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
It was not close.
I mean, they're days in front of anyone else.
That's Jake Beatty. He's the head of the Northwest Maritime Center, which organizes the 750-mile non-motorized self-supported Race to Alaska. He says from the start, he knew there were two teams likely to stand out in the race, Pure and Wild and Malolo. They took different routes. Pure and Wild turned right coming out of Victoria, British Columbia, sailing up the west coast of Vancouver Island and the Pacific Ocean. Malolo turned left, going up the traditional inside route, east of the island, and that made the difference.
The other one ended up hitting a log, like a catastrophic log failure, essentially, on the backside of Vancouver Island. So they were out.
Yeah.
So for days, it's been these guys' race to either win or lose, and it looks like they're going to win.
Among the couple dozen spectators gathered to watch the victors arrive is Libby Johnson McKee, the wife of Pure and Wild Captain Jonathan McKee.
I made the decision last night around 11 to get a plane ticket and come up here for the finish, just to surprise them, my husband, and to just be here as part of his triumph. This has been a dream of his to, like, not only bring our boat to Alaska, but to do this race.
She says she's been following the race closely.
I have, like, spent countless hours on Facebook, on Instagram, and on the tracker, and I've gotten very little done. Over the last few days, I haven't been able to tear myself away 11 o'clock at night checking the tracker.
We're standing on the Baranoff fishing dock in Ketchikan's downtown Thomas Basin Harbor. A Holland America cruise ship parked nearby looms overhead. Between that and a breakwater, we can't see much of the Tongass Narrows. But then the black tip of a mainsail peeks out from above the breakwater.
Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah, the top of the boat.
Pure and Wild team members Jonathan McKee, Matt Piste, and Alyosha Strumpuller cross the finish line just after 3:30 p.m. They glide silently to the dock, step off, and ring the traditional bell.
Woo! Final finish!
What are you going to do next?
Have a beer.
McKee says it was a slow start for Pure and Wild and the two other teams who decided to take the outside route.
I think at one point we'd gone 6 miles and the lead rowers had gone 22 miles. So, you know, we were definitely way behind at the beginning.
Okay, great. I haven't seen it yet.
But then we got some breeze.
And they were off. The team sailed day and night with two on deck and one sleeping and finished the race in just over 4 days. He says there were some tough conditions, including the Heckett Strait inside of Haida Gwaii near the end of the race.
The range of conditions that you experience out there is, you know, it's extreme. So you need to be ready and you just have to have that spirit that you're going to get through it, you know. So the combination of grit and preparation, I think, is what is necessary to finish this race. And a little bit of luck.
Pure and Wild's Matt Piste is the Race to Alaska's first ever two-time winner. He came in first with Team Angry Beavers in 2019. That's the last time the race was run. He says there's nothing like the Race to Alaska.
The adventure of doing this race will always bring me back to come and do this race again, and I hope to be able to do it more years to come and be able to do it with, on a good boat with two other great sailors and teammates and friends makes it very special as well.
Crew member Alyosha Strumpuller says the 750-mile journey is its own kind of reward.
It's so much more like than just like a race for us, like just like the whole journey of being like together and being like a team and, you know, doing the things that we did, that was like just as valuable as like winning like the race.
Of course, $10,000 in prize money certainly doesn't hurt. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
You're listening to KTOO.